Hermina Shabazz here, owner and operator of Absolutely Fabulous Chez Soufflé and proud sponsor of EPRN, Black Owned and Operated Radio Network. Absolutely Fabulous Chez Soufflé is 100% shea butter whipped to thick, rich, creamy perfection with only natural ingredients. Your skin will delight in the long-lasting moisture and delicate scents such as strawberry mango, baby fresh, and vanilla coconut, to name a few. Visit our website of afshea.com to choose your favorite today.
Black Star Fund Triple LP isn't your typical business services B2B specialty business. As you may have noticed, we love handling complex problems for businesses. Alternative business lending, precious metals banking, business and personal credit restoration services. These are just a few of our B2B services. Get started and go to BlackStarFundLLLP.com. That's BlackStarFundLLLP.com. In case you're wondering, Triple LP stands for Limited Liability, Limited Partnership. My name's Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy, and I'm also the Managing General Partner with Black Star Fund, LLLP, providing business to business services for your business certainly involves trust and partnership. Our services are ideal for small and mid-range businesses with 3 years or more of operating experience. Startups are also welcome to inquire about startup loan programs and other consultative business services. Let's start off with a confidential conversation related to your business. Book your 30-minute consultation and let's talk. Give me a call at 980-201-9878 or just fill out the contact form at BlackStarFundLLLP.com.
Are you a proud Black business owner or musician? Email me at MinaShaz@gmail.com to have your business and music posted and mentioned on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, for a small donation. We're a proud sponsor for Black-owned businesses and are looking forward to promoting your hard work and further success. Again, if you're interested in having your business advertised, please email me at MinaShaz@gmail.com. That's MinaShazz@gmail.com.
Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man,
listen now what Paul said, but if any man
draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in
him. No pleasure in
him. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in?
Good Mr. President, I heard that you don't really love us. No, we the chosen in your job is to try to corrupt. Want us to suffer, but the Father, he keeping his cover. Under his mercy, we are waking up, it's almost over. Telling my people to repent, learn to be sober, study the ways. Understand it's a curse, and we had to be slaves. Still stiff-necked, breaking all the laws we would give. All the ones that'll be pretending are those who know they're the children, so they obey. Woe to those with no faith, a part of his spirit, and so we can't be erased. Therefore, we gotta get it right or get tossed in the lake. Picture brimstones touching your face, it's too real, ain't it? The torture got me motivated, I don't wanna burn. Know it's a better place to go, and I gotta learn. Humble myself, I'm strengthening my spirit. Gotta turn down the flesh to even hear it. Do you feel it?
Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though at times it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my trust in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though at times it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in?
The fact of the matter is that this life is a battle. We're being chastised.
I trust in God, blessed to be breathing. Even though it's not as hard as who I believe in. Before fleeing, I'm fasting and pleading. Who do you believe in?
You got to draw a line, pick a side. Strapped in for the bride. Grace means you survived. A lot of Judah ain't alive. Pain thorn in my side. Strain worn, born to thrive. Chain torn, tossed aside. Drain mourn from genocide. Who do you believe in? Set it off like Stephen. Soon as we go to preaching, they coming for your breathing. Is it heaven that you seeking or folly that you speaking? The foe steady peaking, the spirit steady leading. Allah is one and he won't change. Even Aaron's sons burn from the strange flames. So what is you talking about? We struggling, we feel pain. Cause we curse now, we struggle with the real name. I hire forgive us. Our arms is present, but we still lame. We some lions trapped and captive and we still tame. And these pastors, they some actors, they just still change. So when I ask you, do you struggle or you feel shame? Or is the soul game?
John 14 and 2 through 4. Like heaven looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek the Most High. 3, they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat of my people as they eat bread, and call not upon thy power of higher.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.
Peace and blessings, family, and thank you for joining me this evening. Tonight I'm coming to you with something a little new and something a little different that has been left out of our biblical history and facts. Tonight I'm going to bring to you the ancient book of Jasher, something that we probably don't get a lot of or if anything of from this book, if we're in any religious factions. This is a little bit of history that goes a little deeper and breaks down the scripture or the Bible in more detail. It gives us a little more fact as to history and what took place, because we have to realize that the Bible is a history book, family, not a religious book, but a history book. And once we can do, you know, get away from thinking that the Bible is a religious book and therefore taking it religiously, when we get to understand that when you start taking it historically, it takes on a whole new meaning. It's like talking about the wars that America has gone through, because that's their history. That's what they talk about in the schools. They talk about their history in schools. And this is the same thing. But we tend to not see it that way because some of the things in this book do seem a little supernatural. And it can be, because believe it or not, family, this is supernatural. All of it is. We're not understanding what's really taking place here. But anyway, I don't want to go too far off topic. But tonight I want to read to you guys the ancient book of Jasher to give understanding and clarity as to, you know, what really went down in history and how it is simply repeating itself. But anyway, the ancient book of Jasher, and it's referenced in the book of Joshua 10:13, and we're going to take a read of that. We're going to read Joshua 10:13. Okay, I got to put my Joshua 10:13. I think I kind of cut off my page. And also we have it found in the book, of 2 Samuel 1:18 as well. So let's look at it in 2 Samuel 1:18. And it reads, "Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher." And like I said, it's also in Joshua. If I put the book of Joshua, we can also read what it says in the book of Joshua. But it's definitely a particular book. And it's a Bible Facts Annotated Edition. And we're going to see exactly how this book can express the meaning and what's going on in the Bible. It can break down the Bible. It's, like I said, it's very historical. At this point, I can't find the book right now, but definitely check out the reference. Go ahead and reference the book of Joshua 10:13, 2 Samuel 1:18, and you'll see that they're there in there. But this book here, I'm going to kind of read a little preface so you kind of get the understanding, because, like, again, like I said, they don't teach you these facts in the book. They don't teach you these facts. They don't give you this information because it's made for you not to know. You're told that these books, such as Jasher, the ancient book of Jasher, and also even the ancient book of Jubilees. Now, Jubilees is, I won't say it's questionable, but it's not written or even spoke of like it is in the Bible itself, okay, as Jasher has been. But it does have some quality references, and we'll get into the ancient book of Jubilees as well. But we'll get into it at a later time. I'm just going to go with the book of Jasher right now because it's related in the Bible. It's related to in the Bible. And let's get a little quick introduction as to what it is. It's, you know, we have, what is the book of Jasher? The book of Jasher is one of 13 ancient history books that are recommended reading by the Bible. Out of these 13, only Jasher is still in existence. If we are to believe the text itself, this history book was written over 3,500 years ago. It is approximately the same age as the biblical book of Genesis. It covers about the same time period as Genesis and Exodus, but has about twice as much information in it than Genesis. It answers a lot of questions raised in Genesis. How can we be sure the real Jasher, and how can we be sure that this is the real Jasher and not a forgery from Middle Ages? There has been at least two forgeries. One is an ethical treatise from the Middle Ages and does not exist in English currently. As far as I know, it is somewhat Gnostic in style, beginning with a section on the mystery of creation. A second forgery was published in A.D. 1829, supposedly translated by Flaccus Albinus Alcinus. These two are nowhere near the caliber of their Book of Jasher, and both are missing the information that Scripture tells us is in the real Book of Jasher. This is the only Jasher that corresponds to what Scripture says it contains. Okay? And also, let's read this right fast. So what does the Bible say about the book of Jasher? Now, this is the book introduction that I'm reading, family. Scripture records the event where God caused the sun to stand still until Joshua and his men finished defeating the Amorites. This was such an incredible event. The author of the book of Joshua explains it must be true because it is also recorded in the book of Jasher. This tells us two things. First, the original book of Jasher is older than the book of Joshua. And second, Scripture recommends we read this particular history book. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hast not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua 10:12-14. So they gave you the 12-14, so the chapter before, like I read to you guys before, in the cover of the book. And also, too, it says, Jasher's record states this, and Joshua said in the sight of all the people, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, until the nation shall have revenged itself upon its enemies. And the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens, and it stood still 36 moments. And the moon also stood still, and hastened not to go down a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Family, this is going to be some good reading here, because there's a lot more into it. But again, I recommend if you would like to read more of the book and, you know, get more of a layout of the book, then definitely you definitely should order it or go to your local bookstore and pick it up. It's the Ancient Book of Jasher. So let's go ahead and begin. Let's read our first chapter. Let's read our first chapter, the ancient book of Jasher. This is the book of the generations of man whom God created upon the earth on the day when the Lord God made heaven and earth. One, creation to Abel is what we're going to talk about first. 1 a.m. Now, a.m., let's get that together. Okay, so pretty much for ease, I have placed the a.m. date in most chapters and the most notable, because a.m., let me read you guys what he says a.m. means, okay? All right? So let's get the Hebrew calendar first. The Christian calendar dates from the birth of Christ. If the calendar has not been corrupted, the year A.D. 2008 would mean Jesus Christ was born 2008 years ago. The Hebrew calendar dates from the creation of the world. The creation year of A.D. 2008 corresponds to 5768 A.M. on the Jewish calendar. The abbreviation A.M. stands for Anno Mundi, which means the year of the world, just as A.D. stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. So let's get this clear. A.M. meaning the year of the world, and A.D. meaning the year of Christ. So when Christ stepped on the scene, that's when we tend to take the year. So let's keep those in mind as I read. So, in how the book is written. And it says 1 a.m., creation. And this is verse 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And God created man in his own image. And God formed man from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul endowed with speech. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make unto him a helpmeet. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took away one of his ribs, and he built flesh upon it, and formed it, and brought it to Adam. And Adam awoke from his sleep. And behold, a woman was standing before him. And he said, this is bone of my bones, and it shall be called woman, for this has been taken from man. And Adam called her name Eve, for she was the mother of all living. And God blessed them and called their names Adam and Eve in the day that he created them. And the Lord God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the Lord God took Adam and his wife, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And he commanded them and said unto them, from every tree of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, family, I want to break this down real quick because I know we get caught up with the same verse in the beginning. And we really think that the Most High really think that Adam and Eve ate a fruit off of some tree. And all of a sudden, that was just evil. No. That means knowledge. They took in some knowledge from somebody that was on this earth at the same time. But I'm going to keep reading, though. But just to let you guys know, this was not a literal fruit, okay? And when God had blessed and commanded them, he went from them. And Adam and his wife dwelt in the garden according to the command which the Lord had commanded them. And the serpent, which God had created with them in the earth, came to them to incite them to transgress to the command of God, which he had commanded them. And the serpent enticed and persuaded the woman to eat from the tree of knowledge. And the woman hearkened to the voice of the serpent. And she transgressed the word of God and took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she ate, and she took from it and gave also to her husband, and he ate. And Adam and his wife transgressed the command of God, which he commanded them. And God knew it. And his anger was kindled against them, and he cursed them. And the Lord God drove them that day from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which they were taken. And they went and dwelt at the east of the Garden of Eden. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she bore two sons and three daughters. And she called the name of the firstborn Cain, saying, I have obtained a man from the Lord. And the name of the other she called Abel, for she said, in vanity we came into the earth, and in vanity we shall be taken from it. And the boys grew up, and their father gave them a possession in the land. And Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel a keeper of sheep. And it was at this expiration of a few years that they brought an approximating offering to the Lord. And Cain brought from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought from the firstlings of his flock from the fat thereof. And God turned and inclined to Abel and his offering. And a fire came down from the Lord from heaven and consumed it. And unto Cain and his offering the Lord did not turn, and he did not incline to it, for he had brought from the inferior fruit of the ground before the Lord. And Cain was jealous against his brother Abel on account of this. And he sought to protect, pretext to slay him. He sought a pretext to slay his brother. Okay, there's a couple of things before I move on to verse 17. Okay, so we know that some years have passed, guys. We know some years have went through before she had Abel. Okay, so we know about other stuff, you know. We knew there was some time. There were some years that happened in between there and so forth. So now that we know also that Cain was jealous because Cain brought his inferior crop to the Most High. So here, I'm going to give you my inferior crop because he kept his pride stuff he kept for himself, obviously. But he wanted to give the Most High, the creator of all things, his inferior stuff. But Abel came to the Most High with the fatlings of his flock. And the Most High was proud of that. He liked that. Like, oh my goodness, he showed me some love. He brought me his best of his flock. He brought me his best of his flock to give to me. And that's what I'm talking about. So the Most High had love for that. So that's what really what broke down Cain and Abel. So that's why we, you know, because they don't really say this in the Bible as to why. We assumed, we kind of can assume that that's pretty much what took place, but we really don't know why Cain just slew his brother Abel. Some people just think he just had a wicked heart. And he did. Deep down, he kind of did because he offered Most High the inferior crop, the inferior crop of his thing, of his crops. And so, you know, Most High wasn't pleased with that. Let's keep reading, verse 17. And then sometime after, Cain and Abel, his brother, went one day into the field to do their work. And they were both in the field, Cain tilling and plowing his ground, and Abel feeding his flock. And the flock passed that part which Cain had plowed in the ground. And it sorely grieved Cain on this account. And Cain approached his brother Abel in anger, and he said unto him, what is there between me and thee, that thou comest to dwell and bring thy flock to feed in my land? So Cain is mad because, you know, his brother Abel's flock just happened to wander his land by accident, you know. And Abel answered his brother Cain and said unto him, what is there between me and thee, that thou shalt eat the flesh of my flock and clothe thyself with their wool? And now, therefore, put off the wool of my sheep with which thou hast clothed thyself, and recompense me for their fruit and flesh which thou hast eaten. And when thou shalt have done this, I will then go from thy land as thou hast said. You not go from thy land as thou hast said? Okay, so pretty much they're having an argument. They're having an argument, you know, because Cain came to his brother in attitude because his brother, you know, because Abel's sheep went onto his pasture, and it was by accident, to his, you know, his fields, and it was an accident. But Cain took it cold-heartedly. He thought his brother sent his sheep over there to go eat in his land, on his property. And so instead of Cain pretty much, because you can kind of read in the text the attitude of which took place in this book. That's why we're reading this for yourself so you can understand what really took place here between his brothers. So this lets you know there was some feuding going on. He didn't slew him because of, you know, the flock, the giving of the offerings to the Most High. And the Most High took, you know, Abel's and not Cain's. So you think that that's the reason why Cain slew Abel, just that alone. No, there were some things that made him upset. But they kept going on with about their business, you know. You know, Cain kept tilling his fields and Abel kept, you know, dealing with his sheep and everything. But, you know, one of his sheep got away. And so now Cain going to come with an attitude to his brother. Instead of being like, you know, just bringing the sheep out and saying, hey, bro, your sheep came over, you know, put back in this pen. You know, just something cool like that, you know. But he came with an attitude. And so, therefore, Abel came back with an attitude as well. Because he's like, oh, why are you calling me like that, man? You know, what? Okay, then if this is like that, then how about this? You come start paying me for my sheep, to come pay for me for them, that wool you be putting on your body. And, you know, the clothes you be putting on. Come pay me for that stuff now. And that meat you be eating with your vegetables. and stuff, you know? So that's pretty much what was going on here. So let me keep reading because I could go on and tell this story because I like this book. It's very interesting. And Cain, okay, and we're going to go back here to, let's go back up to verse 20. And now, therefore, put off the wool of my sheep with which thou hast clothed thyself, and recompense me for their fruit and flesh which thou hast eaten. And when thou shalt have done this, I will then go from thy land as thou hast said. So Abel came in with a little attitude too. And Cain said to his brother Abel, surely if I slay thee this day, who will require thy blood from me? And Abel answered Cain, saying, surely God, who has made us in the earth, he will avenge my cause, and he will require my blood from thee, shouldest thou slay me. For the Lord is a judge and arbiter, and it is he who will requite man according to his evil, and the wicked man according to the wickedness that he may do upon earth. And now, if thou shouldest slay me here, surely God knoweth thy secret views, and will judge thee for the evil which thou did declare to do unto me this day. And when Cain heard the words which Abel his brother had spoken, behold, the anger of Cain was kindled against his brother Abel for declaring this thing. And Cain hastened and rose up and took the iron part of his plowing instrument, with which he suddenly smote his brother, and he slew him. And Cain spilt the blood of his brother Abel upon the earth. And the blood of Abel streamed upon the earth before the flock. And after this, Cain repented having slain his brother, and he was sadly grieved, and he wept over him, and it vexed him exceedingly. And Cain rose up and dug a hole in the field, wherein he put his brother's body, and he turned the dust over it. And the Lord knew what Cain had done to his brother. And the Lord appeared to Cain and said unto him, where is Abel, thy brother, that was with thee? And Cain disassembled and said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said unto him, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth upon unto me from the ground where thou hast slain him. For thou hast slain thy brother and hast disassembled before me. And did imagine in thy heart that I saw thee not, nor knew all thy actions. But thou did this thing, and did slay thy brother for naught, and because he spoke sprightly to thee. And now, therefore, cursed be thou from the ground which opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand, and wherein thou did bury him. And it shall be when thou shalt till it, it shall no more give thee its strength as in the beginning. For thorns and thistles shall the ground produce, and thou shalt be moved and wandering in the earth until the day of thy death. And at that time Cain went from the presence of the Lord, from the place where he was, and went moving and wandering in the land toward the east of Eden, and he and all belonging to him. And Cain knew his wife in those days, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Enoch, saying, in that time the Lord began to give him rest and quiet in the earth. And at that time Cain also began to build a city, and he built the city, and he called the name of the city Enoch, according to the name of his son. For in those days the Lord had given him rest upon the earth, and he did not move about and wander as in the beginning. And Irad was born to Enoch, and Irad begat Mekuyael, and Mekuyael begat Methusael. Okay, there's a lot that happened in this last part with these names. We know that Enoch was born, okay? We know Enoch was born. Now, is it the same Enoch as in the same Enoch that was on the earth and who Most High took up, who he really loved? Okay, we're going to get into that more later. But that's kind of the first chapter of this book, the ancient book of Jasher, which is definitely a good book. I recommend that everyone get into it and read it, and also have it in collaboration with your book, with the Bible as well. But this book is definitely awesome. I really like it. And like I said, family, I'm going to come to you with this book more often too, because it gives more depth. Because as we read right here, it gave us more depth as to the beginning, as in Genesis. Kind of gives us a little more understanding as to what took place between Cain and Abel, you know, and that we act like these people born one day, had kids the next, They killed each other the next day after that. We just act like things happen like bam, bam, bam. But it wasn't like that. There was time. There was time in between. There were years in between. Just like we have time and years now between the things that happen in our lives and what we go through, deal with the same things like that. They were living their lives just like we live our lives today, family. There's no difference in how life is, okay? That's why the Most High tells us all the time that there is nothing new under the sun. He repeats that in the Bible. He gives us those scriptures. He says, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nothing new. And all we're doing is repeating history. Repeating stuff. And, of course, there are some new things that's going to be added into this history. And that's going to be when the Messiah comes back and we get to see him. Because that's going to be a new thing for all of us. Because back in those days, they were very close to the Most High and the Messiah. They was close to them. They understood. They were talking to them. The Most High has removed himself from us. He removed himself from the people on earth. Because in the beginning, before there was even the 12 tribes and before, you know, Israel came along, there was, you know, the beginning, our forefathers of all mankind. And then the Most High divided it up because, you know, mankind showed himself to be wicked. And vanity began to set in. Because that's what Cain became vain. That's why he gave the Most High his inferior crop. Because he thought highly of himself. You know, and then he had enough to lie to the Most High. Can you imagine talk to God, talk to the Father, and all of a sudden you going to lie to him? Like he ain't going to know what you did? He was giving you the opportunity to confess your sins. Huh, get that. Confess your sins. He was giving you the opportunity to do that. But Cain didn't do that. He was going to lie. He was going to lie to the very end. That vanity was just tight in him. It was built up in him. It was just unbreakable. And he was finally happy that the Most High was able to put some rest on him because he was tired. Because you got to understand, he was wondering for some years. It wasn't like he was wondering just for a day or two or a couple of weeks. Now, he wondered for a while before the Most High said, okay, I'm going to allow you to settle down right here and you do your thing. You know, so he was happy. So these people, see, the people, our forefathers had real close ties to the Most High. It's only now that we don't have no ties. The world don't even have to him. The world has no ties to him. So we got to be faithful, family. We got to be real faithful to the Most High. We got to come back to him, and that's what he wants right now. Because right now, especially with the flood that just took, not the flood, I'm sorry, the tornado that came over Mayfield, Kentucky, and all that, the west area, came over there, oh my goodness, in Texas, the South, and all those places. He left destruction there. He left destruction, family. And he ain't playing. It's only going to get worse here. And we're going to see some things we ain't never seen before. We're about to be some witnesses. They're about to be some of us about to witness what some of our forefathers got to witness back in the day. We're going to get to see what they saw. But anyway, thank you for joining me this evening. And if you love what you heard, please feel free to donate to Voice of Black Star. You can do the money sign, Hermina Shabazz, and Cash App, you know, so we can take some time to keep it going, keep it moving. And this, you know, your donations help support the podcast. And I appreciate it. And again, like I said, we're going to keep this going, though, regardless. We're going to keep it going because this is important right now. The word must get out. Most High speaking. Until our next event, God bless and have a wonderful evening.